Very glad to be here this morning. I'd like to begin by saying that I appreciate Brother Paul's prayer this morning, the words spoken at the table, and the song that was just led. Certainly, it has prepared us this morning for where our thoughts should be. The lesson this morning is about 10 to 12 minutes long, not very long. And I'm still in the book of James because this book says so much about the things that are happening right now and how we conduct ourselves and the things that we do. And I selected a couple of verses that Brother Paul used in reference last in his sermon last week concerning some of Brother Royce's characteristics. And I find that in James 1, verses 2 through verse 4. There it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that," excuse me, "knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." And certainly, we saw these characteristics in Brother Royce. Always a great attitude and a very good example for us today. We continue to find ourselves in unusual conditions. People are saying that there's never been anything like this before. And Brother Brian pointed out that we've never seen anything like this before in our lifetime, for sure. I have a footnote in my Bible next to the verse in Romans 12 and verse 2. There the scripture says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And the footnote, people worry too much about the conditions of the world when they should be concerned about the salvation of their souls. In Hebrews 11, verse 8 through verse 10, it says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And in Hebrews 13 and verse 14 we read, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come." You see, Abraham was a pilgrim in a strange land. And a pilgrim is someone who leaves his home and he travels to a specific destination. A pilgrim isn't a drifter. A pilgrim has a goal. And Abraham's goal was God's heavenly city. This morning, we find ourselves in a strange land as pilgrims just passing through. We too are to live like tent dwellers as pilgrims on this earth. We should live as people who have their permanent dwelling place in heaven and not on earth. Temptations, trials, and tribulations all around us. And James tells us to count it all joy. Many times the right use of affliction is of more value to us than the removal of that affliction. It was pointed out in our study of the book of James that James doesn't say if, but he says when. And this is because Christians must expect these trials and temptations and these tribulations of this life. And because of this, Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If God doesn't see fit to remove the affliction, then we can only think that the right use of the affliction must have some value. If it is because of some affliction that we only have grief and sorrow, and there is an occasion of sinning or a stumbling and a faltering, but we see no profit in blessing in these trials and tribulations, then we must have missed some opportunity. The opportunity may have been growing through some resistance of sin, or it may be as in the example of Christ to prepare us to have sympathy and compassion for others who are suffering, as many are suffering today. Or it may be as it is in the example of the Apostle Paul, that we learn the importance of depending upon God's grace. Paul said in Romans 12, in verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith." For us to know that God's grace is enough, the affliction, the trial or temptation might give us an understanding of the grace of God as to make us far more effective as teachers or as workers in the Lord's army. The Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." There is a book entitled A Chain of Jewels from James and Jude by a man by the name of Donald Frame. He said, "Intense pressure on common carbon makes diamonds. Concerning God's grace, the trial of one grace may produce another grace of even more value. While producing patience in you, God may be producing a diamond for this darkened world. And through the trial of your faith, he may form one of the most valuable diamonds in his kingdom. God's ability to do the impossible through the most unlikely subjects is a continual and amazing demonstration of his grace in molding and making us." No wonder we are asked to look upon afflictions as nothing but joy. God allows our faith to be tested, and he expects us to be approved when the test is completed. Proving here has that meaning. It is the endurance in this trial of our faith that results in developing the attitude to hang on. Patience is not the word meaning to wait. It is the concept of hanging on with a grip that will not let go. It is much more than long suffering, and it has no connection with a humble submission to any circumstance. It is the attitude of "I shall not be moved." In Psalm 16 and verse 8, there it says, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved." If we continue to hold out under all circumstances, and literally the word patient means to hold out under, it means without wavering, but hanging on until the end, then patience will have its complete or its perfect work. And when we bear all that God has appointed, and we not only bear troubles but rejoice in them, then patience has its perfect work, and we become more mature spiritually. And the results will be our gaining approval. It will be being purified, as with a trial of fire. It will result in the gaining of the crown of life. In James 1 in verse 12, It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. It results will be that we shall gain all the spiritual blessings and the heavenly promises that God has in store for us. Patience, the holding out under trials and tribulations, can be said closely to be connected with our will. We choose to hang on. Without this continuous spirit of steadfastness, it is unlikely that we will finish the course. For both the temptation of the devil and the circumstances of this life are very much against the one who is unable to hang on until the end without being led astray. May God give us all strength. James is not saying that temptation is good, and he's not saying that it is a pleasure. But when the result of the trial or temptation is successful, we look upon it as if it were a joy. The temptation of sin should be avoided at all costs, and we should still avoid the appearance of sin. But Satan will see to it that we are not successful in our effort to avoid every temptation. In Romans 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When it cannot be avoided, then we should look to Christ with a view to the end when he will say to us, well done. There are other kinds of sufferings that we may face that may not necessarily be temptations to sin, but these too are temptations by the very fact that our suffering is involved. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And in James 1, 13 and 14, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his desires and enticed. Maybe on the judgment day, we will realize as never before that every sin we have committed is our own doing, and that we have absolutely no room for blaming God for even the circumstance that led us to sin. The very circumstances are God's efforts to make us grow and become approved. They're not to make us sin. Knowing this should give us the strength to overcome the trials and temptations that we are facing today in this life. In closing, so here is the key to counting it all joy when we fall into various trials. That is having the knowledge and the perspective that temptations, trials, and tribulations can accomplish much good. Enduring with patience the adversity so that it may accomplish its work. As we strive to overcome by depending on the wisdom of God that he gives us in answer to prayer to help us to put all things together. And when this is done, even trials can be a source of joy. The lesson this morning was intended to encourage, and certainly in the study I have been much encouraged, especially by the sermons and the lessons in the past few weeks, and especially for the Paul's lesson this last week. If there is any that is subject to the gospel call, we bid you come while we stand and sing.